Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It's good to be together today, and last time we left off answering this question regarding marriage. When a spouse dies and the living spouse still has life to live, can the living spouse remarry? From God's perspective, found within the Bible, can a widow or a widower be remarried? The answer to this question in one word is yes. We had the fictitious example of Elise and Jack. Elise's first husband died. That made Elise a widow. Jack's first wife died. That made Jack a widower. And now Elise and Jack want to get married. As both are Christians, in the opinion of God, the opinion that matters the most, can they remarry? Yes, they can. We found our answer in two New Testament passages. The first was Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, and the second was 1 Corinthians 7, 39. I'll reread these to remind you of them as we get going. Romans 7, 2 and 3 says, "For the married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as she is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is alive, she gives herself to another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress if she gives herself to another man." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39, we read this, "A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord." This is all very clear. For any of you whose first spouse has died, you are now free to marry a second time. As a Christian, you will want to marry another Christian. Paul puts it, "She is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord." Only in the Lord, meaning Christians are to marry only other Christians. Believer is to be married to believer. And that's by way of review. I do just want to add this. Keen Bible readers may wonder why in both passages the Apostle Paul puts the emphasis on the woman, on the wife, and on the widow, the married woman, a wife, she. Why does he not reverse it and give us the scenario in which a man's wife dies, therefore writing about the married man, a husband, he? Good question. The reason comes down to the socioeconomic and cultural environment at that time in Rome and Corinth. It was crucial that widows be taken care of either by the church or by remarriage if they were young and still able to bear children and build the household. Whereas a man could work and take care of himself, even in the event his wife died, the same was not true at that time and place for women. Now, the time and place in which we live may be different, but whenever we read the Bible, a record of true history, we must take into account the realities of life for both men and women. In another context, that of widows living in disobedience to Jesus Christ, Paul writes this in 1 Timothy 5:14, "Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, have children, manage their households, and give the enemy no opportunity for reproach." 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. We do not have time to move into the details of this verse. All I would like you to notice is the emphasis, indeed the encouragement the apostle gives the widows to remarry. "Therefore, I want younger widows to get married." Paul would not have said this if he did not have permission from the Holy Spirit for widows, and by extension and application, widowers, that is, men whose wives have died, to marry again. Our first question, as we think more deeply about marriage, based on Genesis 2:24, is, when a spouse dies and the living spouse still has life to live, can the living spouse remarry? From God's perspective, can a widow or a widower be remarried? The answer to this question in one word is yes, and our biblical proof is Romans 7, 2 and 3, 1 Corinthians 7, 39, and 1 Timothy 5, 14. We have four questions before us about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and let's come to our second one now. What about when someone gets married before they become a Christian, but their conversion radically changes how they behave in marriage, and their spouse does not convert and leaves the marriage? What then? What can the abandoned Christian spouse do? Can he or she remarry a Christian? How does the expectation for a one-lifetime marriage apply in this case? Just a quick reminder, this is how marriage is being defined here on God Is. Marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. Well, if marriage is for one lifetime, what is the abandoned Christian spouse to do? I favor getting at our answer with a story. I am changing the names to protect confidentiality, but the story is true. This really happened. Meet Chris. His wife is Sarah. Well, his wife was Sarah. About 10 years ago, Chris and Sarah were not exactly happily married, but they were living as husband and wife in the same house. Still young, they did not have any children. Both Chris and Sarah were living a high-flying lifestyle. They both had very good jobs, one an investment banker and the other a business consultant. They lived in the city, enjoyed good food, good friends, good times, and good travel. Both traveled extensively, even internationally for work, but managed to meet up in different places all around the globe for action and adventure holidays. For example, one thing they loved to do was jump out of airplanes. Their employers paid them a ton of money to do what they did, and this husband and wife used that money to fuel their lifestyle. Chris was, in his own words, a total pagan, completely unaware of and disinterested in God. Sarah had grown up in the church. Her parents were nominal Christians, but as a college student, she tired of anything that smelled of restrictions on her hard partying, sex, and at times drug and alcohol-fueled university experience. She was a good student and adapted quickly to the study-hard, party-hard mentality of a young, beautiful, independent woman. Needless to say, Chris and Sarah's marriage was two people living together who had no interest in loving, serving, following, and obeying Jesus. Until something remarkable happened in one of their lives. It was Chris. It started at work. To make a long story short, a partner in his consultancy firm ran hard into serious legal trouble. This spun out of control with negative implications for the company, and Chris shockingly lost his job. Not only that, but he had a very hard time finding another one. His search for employment went on and on, month after month, nothing. Bills still had to be paid, tension mounted with Sarah, who was still working, traveling, and making good money in investment banking. So at least they had that. But she started to resent his inability to find work. Chris's whole identity was wrapped up in his previous job. No more fancy dinners and drinks with clients. No more first-class air travel and nights in swanky hotels. No membership at their local country club. He lost many friends, and Chris slipped into a dark place, winding up depressed. Certified depressed by a psychologist. Amidst these life-altering experiences, Chris remembered a guy he had kept at arm's length at the consulting company, a man who had also lost his job. But this gentleman was different. Even his whole attitude to what went down at the firm was a marked difference from Chris's. Tim was Mr. Positive and also religious. That's why Chris had kept a certain distance from him when they worked together. But feeling really low one morning, Chris decided to call Tim. And making a still longer story shorter, Chris and Tim started to spend time together during the day while their wives worked. Chris quickly observed that Tim was not depressed. In fact, just the opposite. Tim had hope, energy, always a smile, a laugh, and an encouraging word. Chris saw something in Tim that he wanted. He began to covet. He yearned to possess what Tim had. And so, as their friendship evolved over time, Tim told Chris the secret: Jesus Christ. In the weeks and then months these two men spent together, Tim guided Chris gently and graciously to know Christ as Lord. Chris joined Tim's church and became a part of a group of other men, meeting Saturday mornings to talk about how the Bible related to real-life problems they all faced. It was there Chris put his full faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of all his many sins, and the pastor baptized Chris one summer Sunday afternoon. Well, as so often happily happens, Chris's life was radically changed. He became like a new man. It was just as Jesus said. He was born again. He had new life in Christ. His depression began to lift. He changed how he lived and learned new ways to approach thinking about his search for a new job. And of course, Chris couldn't wait to tell Sarah about all of this, knowing that if she too would believe in Jesus, her life would also be radically and wonderfully changed. Jesus made all the difference. So, how did Sarah react to her husband's conversion to Christ? What did she say when she returned from another business trip and Chris would keep her up, telling her about all the positive changes he was experiencing, all because of the hope and joy he now had? He had lost a lot, but gained so much more, and he'd wanted Sarah to know all about it. When you join me next time, I will tell you exactly how she reacted. We're meeting Chris and Sarah and learning about their marriage in light of a question we're asking about marriage. Friends, this is to be continued right here tomorrow on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.